is a brilliant track. That is a Paul Weller with Changing Man, just coming up to 11:31 at Phoenix 98 FM. And now we've been having a good old gossip about music off air, and I'm joined in the studio by singer-songwriter Colin Davis. So good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Michelle. Thank you very much for inviting me.
And beautiful tone on the guitar, because you've been rehearsing in the studio and you play it brilliantly, absolutely fantastically. It's one of the instruments, I think we all wish we could play the guitar. It's just such a lovely sound.
I've been playing for well over 40 years. I still pick it up every day.
Every day?
Yeah, finding out.
How old were you when you first started playing the guitar?
I got a second-hand guitar for my 16th birthday.
Oh, really? And was it a tune a day? What did you get? What book did you get with it?
I think I worked my way through 5,000 chord shapes, the book.
Right.
I've never actually found a use for C minor 13th flat and 9th suspended fourth, but I'm sure one day I will.
And you can sight read as well, can you?
No. I'm kind of my musical education was just sort of school O level stuff, so I can't read dots.
And just come a little bit closer to the microphone there. And I was say, when you sort of at 16 kind of thought I'm going to pick up the guitar, what was the reaction like from the females? I don't often ask that question. What was it like?
Oh, I don't think I was really aware of females at that age, to be honest, Michelle.
You sure?
Yeah.
No.
Well, probably, yeah. But no, I didn't do it for kudos. I did it because I was in love with the music of Paul Simon, James Taylor, Joni Mitchell, all those kind of singer-songwriters that were coming out of America.
Yeah.
And they were writing fantastic, meaningful, lyrical songs with an acoustic guitar and being successful. So I thought, well, I want one of those.
Yep.
And it was that drove me to get a guitar, and then I tried to learn every Paul Simon song that I could listen to. So,
do you remember your family's reaction when you did your first kind of gig and your family and friends? Do you remember your first gig and where it was?
I do, yeah. It was in a folk club called The Railway, a pub in Southend.
Yep.
It's still
there,
big music venue now. And I think the first song I played was actually You've Got to Hide Your Love Away, The Beatles.
Yep.
So, I kind of went down well. I was very nervous, of course. I think it was probably 18 at the time.
Mm.
So I'd been, still learning the guitar for a couple of years before I had the nerve to actually get up and perform in public.
Now you've got, so we're going to be doing three songs today. We're not going to be doing three songs. You're going to be doing three songs today. Sorry, just joining in the background on the tambourine. Now we've got one track, which is a recording. You're going to do two live tracks. So tell us about the first track. When you wrote it, what it's about.
It's called Mean Man.
Mm-hmm.
It's on a CD of mine called Still Waters, and it's a strange inspiration. It was inspired by a picture of all people, Robert Mugabe.
Oh, right, yeah.
Right, and it was kind of just the lyrics came together really just about the whole sort of dictator thing and, how they present themselves to the world media. And so it sounds a bit heavy, but it was just, that was what it was about, yeah.
Okay, and is it going to be live or are we using the recorded version?
No, the recorded version.
Right,
yeah.
Here we go. Here's Colin Davis with Mean Man.
Shaking hands and smiling while you're Mother country burns, I swear it, that I
with a Me Man. That is brilliant. That is brilliant. That's really, really good. I love that. We'll be talking more to Colin. Just got to have a quick break with some sports. Oh, we're just moaning about gigs in the background. Now, I'm joined by Colin Davis. You just heard him there with Me Man, which is one of his recordings written about Robert Mugabe.
Or the people of that ilk, yeah.
Yeah. Who's definitely mean.
Am
I
allowed to say
that? I'll be very careful. Now, we were talking about bands and stuff. We were talking off air, but you are in a band, and you've raised loads of money for charity with that band as well, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm in a band called Wheels, with a Z. Wheels.org is the website, and we've been together 8 or 9 years. We were a bunch of old musos, you know, we wanted to get back up on stage and do some stuff. And we didn't really need the money, so we thought, well, let's be a fundraising band. So, you know, we accumulate all our earnings throughout the year, and then at the end of the year, we have an event, a musical event, and we invite local talent and artists to come, a different variety. Dee Hunter, of course, who you know well.
She's doing a set for us this year.
And then, you know, we give the money we've made that year to local charities at that event. So it's a quick plug, if I may, November the 22nd at Mill Hall in Rayleigh. Come along. It's the ticket price isn't set yet, but it'll probably be a tenner. And it's a really good musical extravaganza.
And how much have you raised over the years, would you say, for charity?
We're knocking on £24,000 now that we've given away. So it's not insignificant.
That's fantastic. Now, you said that you used to write. You were saying about your co-writer you wrote with for years, and we're talking about that. I said what fantastic harmonies you had on Me Man. Very lovely. So tell us about who you used to work with.
Well, I wrote and played with a guy called Tony Bacanavari, sadly no longer with us, for 35 years. We formed an acoustic duo called Two's Company, bit twee, but in the early 70s, and I tended to write on my own, actually. Tony collaborated a lot with another friend of ours called Will Hames, who's an excellent lyricist and poet, or comedy poet, actually. We took our songs out to the local folk scene, and, you know, we were, all modesty apart, we were pretty good. We harmonised very well, and, you know, we got some acclaim and some recognition, and then broadened out into sort of other clubs and pubs and restaurants and what have you. And then we got spotted in mid-70s by a local guy who got us to do some demos, sent them off to a record producer, a guy called Ray Cameron, which I, if we have time, I'll tell you about, a very interesting guy. And he liked our stuff and gave us a recording contract. And off we went up to his studios in Oxford Street to do some more recording. And about 6 or 9 months later, he gave up the record producing business and became one of the script writers for, would you believe, the Kenny Everett video show.
Oh, wow.
It sounds a bit of a leap, but yeah. He was actually he was a very well-known, very popular TV comedian in Canada and America, a stand-up.
Right. Mm.
And he's the father of Michael McIntyre.
Oh, wow.
Again, he passed away some years ago, I believe. But,
yeah.
So a very interesting guy. But that was our one and only taste of the fringes of a professional music career.
Yeah.
But great time, great fun.
We were saying about talking about, you know, artists, and you were saying, you know, I don't like these shows where they say, so, just want to say, do you feel it's your last chance? Because I always think that's rubbish. You're as young as you feel, or as they say, the woman or man that you feel. We shouldn't really say that, but there we go. But it's not, I mean, you can be any age, and I think that's a good thing about radio, and especially community radio. We have people in, they can play more than one song. They're not sort of, you know, you're not in here for 2 minutes. And also, you know, people still gig. It's not, music isn't just for somebody in their 20s that's kicking off. It's for all age groups, isn't it? And you said, what did you say about your funeral?
Oh, my guitar's getting buried with me.
Right.
So depending on my weight at that time, it may need to be an oversized coffin. But
you just have a little bit to the side, just like the guitar shape,
yeah,
or something,
okay,
maybe.
Yeah.
That'd be nice and cheerful. Let's talk about funerals.
Maybe with a little snipe pocket for my cables.
Yeah. Are you somebody that, now, when you do your cables, do you do them properly with the cables?
Oh, yes, cable tie has to be done.
Oh, dear.
And then I usually tread on them when I'm doing the gig and damage them anyway, so...
If you don't know, if you're not a musician, you won't understand about cables, but you never, if you ever try and help anybody, especially a guitarist, with helping with cables, and you go, don't touch that, that's what you normally get. So what song are you going to play? You're going to play live for us next. What's this next song, and when did you write it? Is this the one you wrote when you were 16?
Well, I wrote this when I was 18.
18.
About being dumped when I was 16.
Right.
And it's called, it's a bit sort of teenage angst, but, you know, hey, I still like it. And
okay.
It's called Hey Look At Me.
Okay.
You're sitting there and telling me that it's all over. What am I to do? Just smile a smile and shrug my shoulders. You know I love you more than a poet could say. So don't expect me to sit still while you get up and walk away. I don't understand your reasons, I cannot see the sense. I've never felt this way, but it may just be a pretense. A covering display to misdirect me from the proof of the reality. Hey, look at me, are you telling me the truth? Said you don't want to spoil the party, but you don't think you can see me anymore. That you are sensitive and arty, and I'm so down to earth, I'm dragging on the floor. But the first time that I saw you, I forgot to breathe. I was ready to live for you, I was ready to believe. Oh, oh, yeah. It's early morning and the dawn is nearly due. You stayed a while till you were sure that I would make it through. Now the ashtray's brimming and the room is smoky blue. My head is swimming, if I ever needed you, It was now.
Oh, that is lovely. What a lovely
Thank
song.
You.
And just asking you very quickly, was that how long did you go out with that girl for?
About 2 days.
Oh, and how long? What was her name? Do you remember? You obviously remember.
I don't actually. To be honest, it wasn't anywhere as intense emotionally as the song would make out. But you know, hey, poetic license.
It's lovely. Right, we will be back with Colin in the next couple of minutes. Just got to do some travel and some ads and some events, and we'll be back with Colin Davis after this. Right, I'm still joined by singer-songwriter Colin Davis, who is in the studio with me. We've heard some fantastic songs there, and that was what was that song just called?
It's called Hey, Look at Me.
Hey, Look at Me. Oh, don't. He said, take it. When you saw it, took your breath away. Oh, that's so lovely. I got a bit emotional sometimes because I'm sort of got it through my headphones. I'm like going, oh, I've someone said that about me. With your writing, when you actually sit down and do a song, how do you do it? Do you write the chords first, or do you write the lyrics, or how do you do it?
Well, usually the music first. I'm not very prolific. I've been writing, you know, over 40 years, but I've probably only written 50 songs.
Yep.
And the problem is the lyrics. I can pretty come up with musical ideas, but the lyrics, I'm very fussy about the lyrics. They have to remain meaningful to me. I don't want to play, you know, a song that I wrote 10 years ago and be disappointed with the lyrics. So they can take a long time to come. Famously, not that famously actually, but one song which I wrote about my children, it took me 20 years to get the last verse.
Yeah.
So, you know, it can be a bit of a struggle. Smartphones are wonderful, of course, you know, dictate a few ideas. So I keep snippets of stuff, and then I sit down and try and pull snippets together and see what I can come up with.
Now, you gig quite a lot. Whereabouts are you going to be gigging over the next couple of months? What gigs have you got coming up?
I think my next gig is at the Norton Pub in Cold Norton in Essex. Mm-hmm. 2-hour set there, mostly covers. I will throw some originals in. I've got a set at the... There's a new folk festival opening in Rayleigh.
Yep.
On August Bank Holiday Monday, the 25th. Richard Digance is the headline act.
Yep.
And I've got a set there, so I'm really looking forward to that.
Excellent.
And various other little things. I'm playing at a club in Greenwich, the Icarus Club, on 24th, I think. I also sing back a really nice... young singer called Coyle McPherson. Look her up on YouTube, and we do a sort of duo, so we're doing a couple of gigs as well over the next couple of months.
You'll have to get her in.
Oh, she's wonderful. Yeah,
get her in.
Yeah, okay.
I'll take your word for it, Colin. If you're on your standard, just bring her in.
Okay.
Mate, obviously book the appointment first. You can't just walk in.
Oh, right, I see. Right, okay.
Just bring her in. We love live music here at Phoenix FM, and we've got so many music shows as well. But it's great that we've got some local talent. You are from Essex, aren't you?
I am. Yeah, South End boy. Yeah.
Yeah, South. Are you near? Not near Lee, are you? I like Lee.
Live near Lee when I was a kid. Yeah, but
what about the Cockle Sheds? Have you ever been down there?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, because they've got that nice pub down there as well, the Smack.
It's a
great pub, isn't it?
I still smell slightly of cockles, I think.
My dad, it's a shame, because I went down there. My dad died last January, but my dad was like, Sunday night, always used to be prawns, had to be on the paper, and then, you know, you just get the winkles. And then what you used to do is stick the little black bits all over your face. It was just, my dad was crazy like that. But that was the thing. That's what I miss. And do you know what? Shelling prawns makes your fingers itch. Does it make your fingers? Do you get that?
No, I can't say it does, actually, Michelle, but, you
How
know, you go
that?
Ahead.
There we go. Now, you're going to do one more song before we finish and come up to the 12 o'clock news. What's this next song? Tell us all about it.
Okay, this song was kind of inspired. It's not autobiographical, I should add, but it was inspired by my sort of worries when both my children went off on their gap year travels and the sort of, you know, dodgy things that they might be exposed to. So, but nothing happened to them, I'm pleased to say. But this is a song sort of about gap year travels gone wrong.
Okay, and what's it called?
It's called Holy Moses. Taking my leave and going home. Millions of people, but I'm all alone. It's hard to see right in front of me. I wanna be with my own. I had to take to the open road, explore the world. I felt I was old and low inclined to an open mind. I thought I'd have control, but now I bear this load. become of me. No bed of roses waiting for my sleep. As one door closes, another slams my face. And all the time I'm trying to find some breathing space. Oh, the thought of freedom just stole my heart. It didn't take long to see it fall apart. Now nothing shines like the thin white line. I can't seem to outsmart. Where's the glory I'd hope to find? The willing souls and the peace of mind. Is there nothing more on this distant shore? Or am I simply blind? Oh, I wish I could rewind. What is wrong with me? Where the warm wind blows is where I long to be. As one door closes, another blocks my way. Please deal my hand the way I planned. I've gotta get away. And I can see myself rising in the air. I am smiling, I am peaceful, there is comfort everywhere. I got no problems, got no worries, got no cares. Why does reality have to be always there? So I'm taking my leave, I'm going home. Millions of people, but I'm all alone. It's hard to see right in front of me. I wanna be with my own.